Joining me right now, guy you can follow on Twitter, at Dave Richard. You can catch him on the first ever fantasy football telethon. How about that? Streaming live this Monday, Labor Day, starting at 3 o'clock on the CBS Sports new online channel, CBS Sports HQ. I like that. Dave, how you doing?
What's up, Evan? Good to talk to you again.
So what happens on the... I'm fascinated by the telethon. What happens on this telethon?
So this is a seven-hour fantasy football smorgasbord like we've never, ever done. And we've been doing fantasy for a long time. We've got former players. We've got all hands on deck from CBSSports.com, from Pete Prisco to Jason LaConfora to all of our fantasy guys. We're going to do a draft live on the air. And we're raising money for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. It's going to be a great cause at a great time when people need help with their fantasy drafts on Monday. And also getting ready for week one. Week one is here, man. I'm so pumped for the football season.
Absolutely. Now, I like to have the draft the week of a season starting, the last possible time before you can draft with injuries and you never know what can happen. And one thing I'm curious about is the whole handcuff strategy, because sometimes I feel like if I draft Todd Gurley number one overall, which I would if I had the number one overall pick, we'll use a guy like that rookie John Kelly, who I've heard positive things about. Where do you draft a handcuff like that? How aggressive would you be? We'll start with the elite running backs on getting that handcuff late in the draft to put behind them, break glass in case of emergency.
So I think if Todd Gurley went down, John Kelly would get work, but I don't think he'd get the type of workload that Todd Gurley would get. And it's the same thing if David Johnson went down, Chase Edmonds would be the next man up, but I don't think he would get the type of workload either. So if you're carrying those guys, why are you doing it when you can go find another running back on draft day, maybe even on the waiver wire when it happens, that can be better for your fantasy team than the guy that's replacing? But there's a different story if we're talking about Le'Veon Bell. Because Le'Veon Bell isn't even with the Steelers.
Right.
He should report soon. But if he doesn't, then James Conner is going to end up being the main back in Pittsburgh. And if, let's say, Le'Veon shows up and, you know, has a sore hamstring and can't play week one, Conner's going to get that workload. And we're talking about 4 or 5 catches per game, 15-plus carries per game, the type of numbers that you want to have your fantasy running back go out and have. So in the case of Le'Veon, at least for now, I think there's no doubt that you've got to handcuff him to James Conner.
So with Gurley, you wouldn't even draft Kelly as a backup, wouldn't even touch him. You just wait. If there's an injury, you go find to fill out a hole that way. So you wouldn't do that with Gurley, wouldn't do it with Johnson. You would do it with Conner for Le'Veon Bell. What about in Dallas? Because they do have a great offensive line, and they don't have a lot of receivers, obviously. Then things can change once the season starts and guys start to establish themselves. But a guy like Rod Smith, would he be worth drafting as a handcuff for Zeke?
I would say so, because I think he's earned it. Remember last year there was a lot of confusion over who would be the backup to Zeke when Zeke was suspended for 6 games. And for some of the time, Rod Smith did really well, and some of the time, Alfred Morris did well. Well, Alfred Morris is gone. He's on the 49ers now. He's going to make that team. Rod Smith is the only man left standing that's going to get that opportunity. They drafted a guy, Bo Scarborough. There's talk that he might not make the Cowboys roster. So, yes, that's another example where I think it does pay off. If you get Ezekiel Elliott, get Rod Smith. One other factor, though, Evan, if you only have 5 bench spots, I don't know if you want to spend one of those 5 on the handcuff to your running back. I know it's protecting your investment and all that, but you might rather spend that on a sleeper running back, a sleeper receiver, a backup tight end who could end up being a breakout player that you can trade away. You have to be a little bit flexible, and it really does come down to just how much room you have on your bench in fantasy.
One of the appeals, and it's probably not a good idea from a roster spot perspective, is having one of these backups for a prominent running back on your roster, even if you don't own that prominent guy, because if God forbid there's an injury, it's like winning a lottery ticket, and you can trade that to the guy that just lost the running back, probably for more than they should. But the problem is it's probably not worth holding a roster spot to it, but I like that because it could turn into a lottery ticket.
Again, that comes down to how much space you have and how long you're willing to be patient. Like, I think it's totally worth doing with James Conner, whether you have Le'Veon Bell or not. At this moment, James Conner makes a lot of sense because if things stay the way they are, he's the starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. But things can change. Le'Veon shows up. Bye-bye, James Conner. His value's through the floor, and no one's going to want him in trade. You can do that. It really comes down to which running back you go after. Connor, like I said, would be one of those guys. I'll give you another one that we're talking about a lot at CBS Sports. Nick Chubb of the Cleveland Browns.
Mm.
Impressive preseason. It started off a little slow, but for the most part, he was good. If anything happens to Carlos Hyde, and we know that Carlos Hyde has been banged up, I believe 4 of his 5 seasons in the NFL, I think you could see Nick Chubb actually take off and have a good role in that offense. And one more, San Francisco, Matt Breida is going to be a very popular pick if something happens to Jerry McKinnon. Or even if Jerry McKinnon just can't handle that full workload that they're projecting on him, Breida's going to get in there for over 10 carries per game. That's someone that fantasy owners would like to have.
What about Wayne Gallman with the Giants? Because obviously Jonathan Stewart is here, I think, more for veteran leadership than anything else. If Saquon Barkley's hamstring barks a little bit more or something crazy happens, what do you think about the value of a guy like Wayne Gallman?
We saw Gallman get opportunities last season. There were some times where he was okay, just not great. I am 100% certain that Gallman would not get the exact same type of opportunities that Saquon Barkley is going to get. So I would say Saquon is one of those one-of-a-kind type of running backs where he's just going to be so good when he plays. And when he's out, there's just no one out there that can really replace him other than the superstars of fantasy football who you're never going to have on the same team with Saquon Barkley anyway.
There's a bunch of big names that sometimes get overdrafted because of their resume. Obviously, Adrian Peterson's now back in the NFL with the Washington Redskins. But right now on the depth chart, Marshawn Lynch is the number one running back in Oakland. What about him? What do you look at for Marshawn this season?
So I do a lot of research on running backs and when they tend to break down. And Marshawn should have broken down already. And if you look at how he did at the end of last season when the Raiders started actually giving him more work, he was phenomenal. He was actually very consistent for fantasy, scored a bunch of touchdowns, had a lot of yardage. And knowing John Gruden and his history with running backs, I think he's going to lean on Marshawn Lynch until he can't lean on him anymore. And Lynch is just a different breed of player. He's a little wild, and I think he could end up being the abnormality among running backs that get 2,500 career touches. I think he can hang in there for one more season. I'm excited to draft him round 6 in fantasy. Mm.
What about Doug Martin? He's now in Oakland now. Any chance he resurrects his career? Because he's been a mess the last 2 years.
I can't trust him. I know that he's had some really good numbers in the past, but between injuries and off-field things that have happened to him, I'm just worried that he's never going to be that great. You know, it's funny. Oakland didn't even draft this running back they have, Chris Warren. You might have seen him play last night. If you're watching week 4 of the preseason games like me, you watched him. He actually looks better to me than Doug Martin right now. I wonder if the Raiders are going to stick with Martin, knowing how much money he's going to cost them this season.
We're talking to Dave Richard. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Richard. And the first ever fantasy football telethon will be streaming live this Monday, Labor Day, starting at 3 o'clock on CBS Sports' new online channel, CBS Sports HQ. Looking at the weapons that Eli has, we mentioned Saquon. He's going to get a million touches. Odell's going to be targeted a lot. When is a good time to go after Sterling Shepard? Because he's looked great in the preseason. He's definitely the number 2 receiver on this team. From a target standpoint, where would you view a guy like Sterling Shepard right now?
I think he actually comes into play as a value receiver in fantasy. I don't think a lot of people are going to be confident enough to start him, maybe as a third receiver if there's 14 or 16 teams in your league. I think he's a great bench fantasy receiver, and you're drafting those guys in round 9, round 10, and past that if you happen to see him that far. I feel like he could be a little bit touchdown dependent for fantasy, meaning that he's not going to get you 90, 100, 110 yards very often. Certainly not when he's on the field at the same time with Odell, Saquon, and Evan Ingram. But he is a very talented player. It's just a matter of opportunity. We saw him get a lot more opportunities last year when Odell was gone, and he didn't really gravitate. He didn't step up then. A lot of that might be on Eli and the offensive line not holding up. This is a different Giants team this year. I'm fairly optimistic that Sterling Shepard will have some very good weeks.
I'm intrigued by this one guy because the Patriots gave up a decent amount to get him. I think it was the Jacoby Brissett trade when they acquired Philip Dorsett. He was a former first-round pick. He did nothing last year. I mean, they bring him over. He was a non-factor at all. But with Edelman out, can you see Dorsett becoming, you know, maybe one of Hogan's probably going to be his favorite target, and obviously Gronk, but can you see Dorsett being a hell of a lot more productive than we saw a year ago and becoming something of a value draft pick?
That would surprise me. I just think Philip Dorsett is what he is. The Patriots got to look at him for all of last season. I don't think he scored even 2 touchdowns. He might not have scored any. I don't even know, just because he wasn't that impactful. You're right about Hogan. You're right about Gronk. Keep an eye. This is out of left field. But keep an eye on Cordarrelle Patterson. He's 6'3". He's very fast. And the Patriots are going to use him as a yards after catch guy. So they're going to try and get him the ball within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage and hope that he springs free for a big play. I don't even know if Philip Dorsett can even do that as much for the Patriots as Patterson can.
Where is, because one of these quarterbacks that I've read drafted a lot later than you'd think is Matt Ryan. And mainly he didn't have a great year last year, and maybe it was the new offensive coordinator, Steve Sarkisian's in, and it sounds like they're on the same page now and his numbers could turn around. Where are you seeing Matt Ryan drafted a lot in leagues right now?
He's going in those very late rounds. So, just by comparison, Sterling Shepard 100% going to go ahead of Matt Ryan. There's two reasons for it. Number one, it's supply and demand. There are so many great quarterbacks this year in fantasy that people really should wait until there's a value on the table when they draft one. It doesn't mean waiting until round 12 to get one, but I've been in a bunch of leagues. I've got Aaron Rodgers in round 4, Tom Brady in round 5. I'm seeing Carson Wentz starting to fall because there's questions about his availability for the beginning of the season. Ben Roethlisberger is actually not a popular quarterback despite last year being super for fantasy. And Ryan's another one of those guys. And the other point I want to make is that Ryan played last year with a banged-up Julio Jones. You mentioned it, Sarkisian's first year in the offense. Sarkisian was lost last year. Now he knows what he's doing. Julio's been with the team since training camp started. He's fresh and healthy. They added Calvin Ridley in the draft. Ryan might end up being one of the very best bargains on draft day. Here's the problem. If you take him as your second quarterback, you might not start him very often. And even if he breaks out, you're not going to get a lot in trade for him because there are so many quarterbacks. So you almost have to make the decision in your mind. If you're just, forget it, I'm going to wait, I don't care what the value is, and then you get Matt Ryan, maybe you pair him with a Phillip Rivers, or it just so happens on draft day that maybe you're in a league with a bunch of guys that are crazy for quarterbacks and they draft him early, and you go, I'm not going to fall into that trap, I'm just going to go ahead and take Matt Ryan later on. It's going to be one of those two paths for everybody who are looking at Matt Ryan.
It is kind of weird because in years past, not that, quarterbacks are flying off the board in the first round, that's not happening, but a guy like Aaron Rodgers would be drafted reasonably early, and it does feel, maybe because like you mentioned of the demand that's out there, that to have an elite player like Aaron Rodgers, I don't care that he's coming off an injury, falling to the fourth and fifth round, we have completely devalued the quarterback right now.
Right, and that's what you have to take advantage of.
Sure.
Because,
sure.
And listen, to be honest, there's going to be at least one or two guys in every draft that don't see it that way.
Right.
They're going to see Aaron Rodgers as a guy who's going to put up big fantasy numbers, maybe even lead your fantasy league in points scored, and they're going to say, I can't pass this up in round 2. But don't take him over Rob Gronkowski, who's basically a unicorn at tight end. Don't take him over Devontae Adams, his teammate in Green Bay, who's going to end up being the number one receiver there. And that's a position that's a little bit thin. You could say the same thing with Keenan Allen, Michael Thomas, A.J. Green. I'm taking all those receivers ahead of Aaron Rodgers. Again, I want value when it comes to my quarterback. If it doesn't feel like I'm stealing them when
right.
I draft them, I shouldn't be taking them.
It's an interesting, I'm going to use that philosophy because I have been a guy who, not I'm going crazy drafting Aaron Rodgers too early, but you fall in love with the guaranteed success of a quarterback. And this year, I think I'm going to ignore it until the 10th round. I'm going to throw away all the feelings of, let me get this guy. I'm going to ignore it this year.
Yeah, and it's the smart thing to do because the supply is so great.
Yeah, it really is. Dave, I appreciate it. Should be interesting. The streaming live telethon coming up on Monday. Good luck with that, and I appreciate you coming on.
You got it. Good luck in your drafts next week.
I'm going to need it. Thank you, sir.